The subject matter I want to talk about is basically found in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I am sure that when I have said all that I might say, there will still be a lot more that could be said. I want to approach this perhaps a little bit differently to what I have ever done before, that is in some of the background and thinking about it. I don't think that I've ever related this thought. This chapter comes after 12 chapters have already been penned. And we think back for just a moment, the content of those 12 chapters. I'm not going by any means rehearse it, but just most of it is concerned with the problems and troubles that afflicted the church at Corinth. Strange, after having all of that discussion of the problems and troubles, the jealousy, which was probably one of the biggest things that was involved. After all of that, you come to a chapter that has for a major subject. The word that's used in the New Testament here is charity. Our more common use would be the simple word with four letters, just love. But there is something about the word charity and its meaning that has a little more than just love. We generally think of love as just a word that has a definition. And then we try to give its definition. We usually do it in terms of just plain statement. And that's what we usually have in all of our definition for love. But the real essence of the idea is that there is activity associated with it. Love without activity is virtually worthless. If love is in word only, it soon becomes very, very, whatever you want to call it. You get very tired of love in word. Unless love has some activity going with it, you just don't have love. What kind of activity is it? We have to be careful about that part of it. The activity of love, let me say it real hard now, it probably has as many negatives as it does positives. Now that may be a real strange way to go at it. Love has to be described in things that it is, and it also has to be explained in terms of what it is not. Some of the things that I'm going to say are going to be odd sounding. Love is enduring. It is not on and off. It is enduring. For it to be enduring, here's one of the positives. Love is patient. Let that soak in. Love is patient. If you lose your cool, you may lose your love, or at least the expression of it. Being impatient is not conducive to love. In other words, if you fly off the handle when things don't go to suit you, it's not the way it ought to be. It is not love in action. Love in action is to keep on being patient. Just keep on enduring. Now, I haven't actually read anything from the verse yet, or the chapter. The opening gives a lot of things that are rather on the negative side. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Now those noises may sound good sometimes if they're in the accompaniment of other things, but there is nothing that can flatten me out any more than a cymbal if it's the only thing I had a chance to listen to. Sounding brass. I got so tired sometimes listening to Mark play a trombone when it was just by itself. It'd been worse than that if it'd been beating a drum. But all of those kinds of things wind up good if they are put together and have a harmony. That's the reason why you have to be careful about having love and charity. Things have to be put together. But if you have it going just singly, the tongues of men and even of angels, that's all there is involved in it. It doesn't have the right quality. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Again, showing, doesn't matter what your powers may be, if you don't have love in action, there's no profit to it. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. That said a big mouthful in those words. From the negative side, it does not matter what you do and how much of it that you perform in the absence of love. Love in action. In the absence of it, there is no profit. There's nothing gained. You might have a lot of selfishness going on, but it's not love in action. Which makes me make a statement here. How much of what we call so-called love, how much of it have selfishness as the root for it? That's another question, just to make the point. Do I do things just because of what I get out of it? Now, that's not love. That's selfish, actually, because I'm only doing it because of the profit I make out of it, if I'm benefited by it. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Now think about how those two work together. Kindness is the quality that has to be if you have any endurance. To put it in my kind of words, you've got to learn how to put up with, endure, put up with. If you just think about your own self, isn't it a wonder that anybody puts up with you? Now give a good, strong, hard look at yourself. With all the demands and the thoughts that you have considering me, because after all, how many of us really, most of the time, think of I first? Now I know how true that is from my own standpoint. How many times did I ever sit down to write anything before I stuck up every sentence nearly? When that happens, who do I consider most important? I can't even talk on the telephone without talking about myself almost altogether. Charity suffereth long and is kind. True love has a look at the other and not so wrapped up in self. Those Corinthians, one of their major problems were so wrapped up in self. And have my way or no way. Have my preacher or throw them all out. All sorts of things go through those opening chapters of pictures of selfishness. Charity serveth long and is kind. Now, what's these negatives? Charity envieth not. See, that doesn't tell what it does do here, it tells what it don't do. Charity envieth not. Vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Now, I want you to notice how heavy these negatives speak, though. They're knocking selfishness plumb out. Because if you can't have a little bit of something about envy, in other words, how many times do we make comparisons of how I stand in relation to somebody else? And how easy it is to become envious when we begin to make those kind of comparisons. Envieth not, vaunteth not itself, can sometimes brag on somebody besides one's own self, can see the good that another does, is not puffed up. You know, it's awfully hard for me to even around the house not try to make my wife see what I'm doing. Whatever little thing I did, if I just picked up something and put it up, I sometimes just think she ought to see it. And if she didn't, I sometimes just have to remind her. Now, look what I did. Look, see it? Isn't it very easy to be so self-centered that in even the little common everyday things, we wind up almost puffing up our own self? And if somebody else won't say it fast enough for us, we'll help them. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. That is, seeketh not her own praise. Is not easily provoked. everyday life at my house almost winds up with me getting provoked about something. Yet this tells me that I'm not to be easily provoked. Almost anything that goes against what I want, it's so easy to be provoked. What I'm trying to say is, love in action gets around those kinds of things without being provoked. There are some things I pride myself about. But there are some other things that, as far as this provocation, I've lost all mine because it just pops off. Out it comes, easily provoked. You talk about making resolutions. I know what will happen with mine, don't you? I make them and they're broke just about the time they got made. But it doesn't reduce the idea I need to do better. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Wouldn't it be wonderful to just think good all the time? Wouldn't it be nice if I just never had an evil thought to run through my head? But that's the kind of goal that I need to be setting. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Yet, let me see if I can get it to where I can say it halfway. Most of our newspapers are filled with things of iniquity. Most of the things we see on television filled with iniquity. The verse here doesn't say that we can knock all that out. The verse here says, rejoiceth not in iniquity. We don't need to be happy about the bad that's going on. The fact of the matter is, as the other side of it, rejoiceth in the truth. But a question that each of us need to weigh. Would I turn the TV off just to hear some truth? Would I search for truth on TV? Would I likely find it? I'm not saying it's not there. But it may have to be looked hard, and you might have to have some real good colors, as Brother Etheridge has told us some, to be able to cull some things out in order to see what may be some little bit of good somewhere. Beareth all things. That's the idea I've already said, putting up with, bearing all things. That is, even though it be a load to carry, bear it anyway. Carry loads. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. The idea of all this is in the idea of the word patience and putting up with. Another word that's found another place in the Bible is looking over one another for good. Don't see what all you can see. And when you do, look over it. Wouldn't it be so much more pleasant to live if we had more of those kind of qualities? Being able to overlook one another for good. Let me give you a nice little deal here. We don't really overlook one another for good if we have a ledger that we're being sure to have it written down for every little thing that's ever been that we didn't like. And we're not doing much good every time a person does wrong this time to take time out and remind him of all those other times that he did. We're not really overlooking for good if we're keeping a ledger sheet of all the things that's there. And especially when you start reminding, well, that was just as I expected. Be just like you did the other time. Here it is again. The real truthfulness of it is that forgiveness is very difficult to have a complete forgiving spirit. How many times have you thought you have forgiven, but then some little something pop up and it show you didn't really forgive? I'm glad that we have a forgiveness as an example of the Lord having forgiven us of our sins. That means He won't remember them. It means they are put completely out of the way and out of sight, never to be brought up again. And the Bible tells us that's the way we're supposed to do, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. I need to remember that. I need to learn how to put it into practice more. I need to just simply learn how to forgive in the true sense of forgiveness, which would carry with it the idea of overlooking one another for good, seeing the good and not the evil. Goes on a little further. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. What we're trying to come up here with is the enduring quality of a love that's in action. It's real. It does not fail. It does not quit. It keeps on and on. Here, we know in part. We prophesy in part. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. May I say it this way? We need to grow up. In growing up, we put these kinds of things aside and we come more and more in harmony with the teaching of this chapter. We will always fall short. I certainly recognize that. But the race we run isn't finished as long as we're alive. is still always laying out there before us. To keep on. Persistence. Stay with it. Love just lights on. Keeps on going. Fact is, when we get to the complete closing of this chapter, we'll find out what goes on. We will find a couple of other things that's wonderful to have, but they will have served their purpose. And now abideth, that is right now, abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, the greatest of these is charity. That love that keeps on, it will never come to a place of ending. The eternal love of God, non-ending. We are loved by that love. And herein is love, that we love one another, even as He loved us. His love is a lasting love. Everlasting love. And the love wherewith He loved us is an everlasting love. It will go on. We may render it very imperfectly here, but it will go on. Here we have also now faith. It's wonderful for our livelihood here to have faith. It's wonderful to be able to have faith, even in one another. But to have faith in God, it's great for us while we live here. But let me make a quick, hard, wonderful statement. There will come a time when time is no more. That faith will come to an end in the reality of the presence of Him who is the object of our faith. Hope will be realized. When we arrive in heaven, we will have no further need for faith. And we'll have no further need for hope realized when time shall have come to an end. But charity, love in action, will go on and on and on. Now we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. I will have the perfect knowledge of God then. Now you can call this whatever you want to call it. It's the final conclusion of the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts. That we have the beginnings of it now. And we shall have the full completion of it then. When we shall have the... Let me say it this way where it may sound like I'm really putting it big. But it's the way it is. We will have the same love that God has. That's what this says. But then shall I know even as also I am known. How well does God know us? And how wonderful it will be when we shall know even as we are known. How powerful do you reckon this passage was when it was originally read? By those Corinthians, who had been guilty of just about anything you wanted to name from one side to the other. If nothing else, it is even stated. And such were some of you. And just a whole bunch of them. But now you're washed. You're cleansed. Having this kind of thought put to them, and then having to be faced with this kind of a reading when it's read to them, what kind of impression should it make upon them? Here we are living almost 2,000 years from the time that it was first written. What kind of effect does it have on you and me when we hear it said today? I took time this morning. I don't do things like this often. I haven't referred to it particularly, but I just took time this morning sitting down and writing down. Just quick little summary statement. Just used the back of a checkbook on the old back cover of it to write it down. And I wrote these kind of things for the note of what I thought about this passage. It is love in action, enduring, not fragile. You ever got a box that came on side of it, had a stamp? Fragile. I wonder sometimes how much of our love is just fragile. And just tied up almost over anything. We don't need to have that kind of love. Our love needs to be not fragile. If it's much of a love, it won't be fragile. It's patient. Long-suffering. The text says it suffers long. Bears all things. Believes all things. May I put a lot of explanation on that? You can't believe everything because some things false. But believe all things that's right. Believe all things that's true. Believe all things that's wholesome. Hope in all things. Even when times are bad, you still hope for the best. When things look like impossible, don't lose hope. Remember Him in whom you hope. Remember the Bible that says, the Lord is our hope. The other side of it, those negatives, all of them add up to what I use this word for. Humble, humility, not proud. Not envious. Not boastful. Not arrogant. You know what that really means? You're ready to throw off on somebody else and say, I'm better than they are. Arrogant. High-minded. Not that. Not rude. Sometimes when we think too highly of ourselves, we can get rude with it. Sometimes we put down somebody else. Sometimes we even say something to slight somebody else. That's not charity in action. Not irritable. Not easy to be irritated. Love somehow is able to overcome irritation. I'm not a great lover when it comes to some things, because there are things that can irritate me. I can think of 3 or 4 things that just gets me about as good as anything. Is if a person had ever done it when I was teaching school, going to the blackboard and took their fingernail and started going down it and making the racket that it would make, that scratching sound is something that could irritate me about as much as anything. One more thing. God help if you don't do this when I'm around, but I've heard it a few times in my life. Right while a man was praying, your little fingernail clips, clipping fingernails. I'm just saying that there are some things that can irritate me, but I ought to be not easily irritated. Maybe I'm highly blessed now as I become more dim of hearing, as I don't have to hear everything that goes on. But let me say this. I got these hearing aids now, and by the way, they just about tell everything. Sometimes they don't distinguish it too good, but you can sure hear the racket. But irritation. Don't be easily irritated. Now, this is a big lesson for folks that's married. Don't be easily irritated. Don't lose your cool over just anything that comes up. And learn to know there are things that will come up. You talk about testing and trying. The test of your faith, the trying of your faith, it's involved in this. Be able to take it. Not resentful. Really, that's close to being jealous. If you resent that somebody else gets something you didn't, and you resent them because they did get it. Not rejoicing in wrongdoing, but rather rejoicing in right doing. Finally, probably one of the big ones to help are the pro side over a bunch of negatives. For the positive side, one big word, again with just 4 letters. Be kind. K-I-N-D, kind. Would it be wonderful for these children here to recognize that I've got kind parents? Wouldn't it be nice if the parents could realize I have kind children? That they want to be kind and not harsh and mean. Rejoicing in the truth. I'll close in a moment. As I was thinking about these things this morning, I didn't have time then to look up a song. But as I sat there this morning and pinned down some of those things, I thought about this song. I don't know that we've sung it. It's certainly singable. And even in our book, we have a tune for it that's singable. It was written by a Primitive Baptist preacher. The same Primitive Baptist preacher that fixed up the original book of preachers with pictures in it. We have had a new one to be put up lately, but this one was put up about 1905 or 1906, about 100 years ago. This preacher published a book that had a lot of pictures of the Primitive Baptist preachers of that time. His name was Pittman, R.H. Pittman. He may have written more than one song, but he's written one. It's found on page 266 in this book. And they decided to stick the title as being Charity. The actual title is also there right underneath it. It's spelled L-A-B-A-N. That may have been a place or somewhere or something, but that's the title that somebody took for this song. Written, the music written by an old songwriter named Mason, Lowell Mason. Sometimes when you don't have anything better to do and you just get to where you have to look through the songbook, just find a lot of songs that Mason wrote the words, not the words, but the music. There's one named Hebron. We sing often. But how many of you knew that we sing Hebron often? It's fun to think about things like that. But here we're staying with this Laban here, Laban, whatever it is. This book decides to put the name Charity on top of it because that's the content of it. On the left-hand side, you find out that it was R.H. Pittman who wrote the words. But important right now are the words. Let's look at them just a minute. Love is the greatest thing this world has ever known. It fits us for God's service here and leads us near home. Without love, preaching's vain. Religion, just a show. Trees that here only cumber ground on which no fruit will grow. Though we should give our goods to feed and clothe the poor, it could not save us from our sin, nor open heaven's door. And though our bodies burn in human sacrifice, this never could atone for sin. Jesus must pay the price. Love makes us suffer long, and not to seek our own, helps us to act as Christians should and imitate God's Son. Our faith and hope will end when heaven we shall see, but charity will still live on in all eternity. I was glad this morning that I could think of that hymn. I was glad to have the opportunity while I got here to sit down. Look up, I didn't even know the page number of that old song. But I looked it up. Remembered to bring the book with me to the pulpit so I could turn to it later. And did, and have read. I've done the best I could this morning to tell you that charity is love in action. Love is not just a word. It's not something that is word only. Love is charity in action. It has to be at work for it to be beneficial. It has to be put in practice for it to have any meaning. You can say and say and say. And it may sound good when you say it, but if you don't back it up with some actions, it winds up just being empty words. It winds up just like those opening language of this chapter. Tinkling cymbal. Nothing of any meaning. Nothing of any import. And unless it accompanies the things which you do, it's still empty. If we do what we do for selfish intentions, it is not still proper. Love is not bribery. Now, do you know what bribery means? It's when you're trying to pay your way to get what you want. That's bribery. That's not love. Let me say it another way. We're not showing love for children when we're having to bribe them to do what we want done. That's not love. That's a different word. And when children expect bribery, they're on the wrong end of the ladder. They ought to want things, but they ought to want to do things worthy of the things which they get. Now, most of you have been used to come into the church and hear good old salvation by grace. I love that too. But there is some reality in these other things that go along with it. There are things that are supposed to accompany salvation. And these are some of them. I hope that I've been plain enough and that you could understand and know that if you're going to talk about love, let's have some action to go along with it. May God bless you.